there. Oh, the mighty oaks, baby.
Yeah.
Is that thing going to be on or not? My voice is a little weak tonight. Is it on?
He's trying to get it on?
If not, it's right. I can do without. All right. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good to see everybody here. Now, I was asked to do a class on giving.
Amen.
Giving to the Lord. And that's everybody's favorite topic, to like, you know, hey man, you give out your money, you know, that's not, you know, some people don't like to hear that. We're going to do a class straight out of Malachi, all right? So just going to be studying in Malachi there. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament, and it's kind of like God's last word to us, at least in the Old Covenant. And so, you know, it's kind of good to think about what's God's last word to us. At the end of the book, he says, you know, I'm going to send Elijah and the Messiah is going to come. So it's sort of like a, you know, last thought on our mind from God. It's written somewhere around 450, 440 BC. Not only is it the last book in the Old Testament, it's probably the last book written in the Old Testament, just chronologically. The situation is this. The temple had been rebuilt. The city had been rebuilt. But people were relying on themselves instead of relying on God. The outline of the book is, part one, God still loves Israel. Now, the reason he starts with that is he's going to lay these guys out. So he says, just so you know, guys, I love you. Yeah, you know, sometimes say, hey, I want you to know I love you. And then, it's you know, they, yeah, they're like, you know. It's kind of like that. So it says, just so you know, I still love you. But it's kind of like, I still love you, but. But, number one, the priests have been unfaithful. That's chapter 1, verse 6 through chapter 2, verse 9. And then chapter 2, verse 10 through chapter 3, 18. The people have been unfaithful. And then the last is, the day of the Lord is coming. Now, if you know much about the Old Testament, when it says the day of the Lord is coming, that's not necessarily really great news. Interesting style. It's kind of like a Socratic style where he's kind of, you know, posing questions and kind of leading questions. And they kind of give some dumb answers, as we'll see. All right, so we're just going to get straight to Malachi chapter 1. I'm going to go to verse 6. I'm going to skip the part, that really cool part about, yes, by the way, God loves you. Just, you know, I'm skipping that part. I don't know, because I didn't write this lesson to rebuke anybody. We're just going to, you know, see what's going on here.
Come on.
All right.
Come on, bro.
Malachi 1, starting in verse 6. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. I'm a father. Where's the honor due me? If I'm a master, where's the respect due me, says the Lord? It is you, O priest, who show contempt for my name. Right, now, this part is written to the priests.
Yeah.
And if you've been coming to our Saturday morning classes, you know that the priests in the Old Covenant are prefigures of what?
Us,
right. So this is a lesson to us, because we are priests, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So the lesson is to us. And according to this passage, what does God want from us?
Respect.
Respect and?
Honor.
Honor. Does God want our money?
Nope.
Not really.
He doesn't need
our money. What God wants from us is our honor and our respect. But what's one of the ways you show honor and respect?
By giving money.
All right, that's kind of common sense. Does he want our money? Not really. You know what God wants from you? He wants your honor and your respect.
Amen.
And he says to the priest, he says, oh priest, you've shown contempt for my name. And the priests say, we have? Really? When did we do that? You know, they say, but you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? So we as disciples, God says to us, you've shown contempt for my name. We say, we have? You know, I'm a disciple. What are you talking about? So they say, how have we shown contempt for your name? And he says, you place defiled food on my altar. And you know, I imagine them thinking, when did we do that? I don't remember. And maybe you're thinking as a Christian, when did I do something defiled for the Lord? I mean, I went to church, you know, I read my Bible. What are you talking about? You placed defiled food. I didn't place any pork on your altar. I didn't put any non-kosher. What are you talking about, God? I'm confused. How have we defiled you? And he says, by saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. And again, these priests are saying, I never said the Lord's table is contemptible. When did I say the Lord's table is contemptible? I never thought it. God, what are you talking about? See, God's setting them up. He is setting them up. Says, how have we said the Lord is contemptible? When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. He says, you put defiled food on my altar. The people said, we have? How have we defiled you? These guys were clueless. Now, if they were clueless, maybe we're clueless. They were convinced, man, these were the priests. These were the religious people, man. And everybody said, man, they're really religious. They're really religious. You know, what was their problem? They gave God the second best. Is God pleased with the second best? You know, we did the Bible talk on this topic. And so if you were there on Tuesday, sorry, it's the same lesson. But we went around, and our opening question was, what was the worst gift you ever got? All right? And we had a visitor there, and hers was my favorite. She said somebody gave her half a bottle of shampoo. But before they gave it to her, they filled it up with water and diluted it. You know what? You know what? I think a lot of us do the same thing. We're more sophisticated than that, you know. We laugh at that. But the question is, and see, these people are thinking this is logical. This is logical because if I'm going to give an animal to God, they're just going to kill it. Right? So what's the point of giving a good animal when I could give a crippled animal, because they're just going to kill it anyway? It sounds logical, right? I mean, he's God. Does he need money? Not really. Does he need anything from me? Not really. So why should I give him my best? Because he doesn't really need anything. See, that's the thinking that was going through these minds. Surely that thinking would never enter our minds. Surely not. See, they were giving God their leftover time. How about you? Wow. They were giving God their leftover energy. They gave their first energy to their boss. Wow. Oh, and if they had any energy left over, they gave it to God. They gave their leftover money to God. They gave what was left. They gave the stuff, honest truth is, that they didn't really want. Now, I don't want to put down, you know, sometimes we give our used clothes to the poor and, you know, but really? Is that a sacrifice? And not to put that down, I'm not saying that at all. And, you know, when we have a canned goods drive, what do? We go through our cabinet, we think, which stuff there do I not even want anyway? I mean, I've done the same thing, all right? But the thing is, sometimes that's what we do to God.
Whoa, come on, John. Bring it home.
And we think God would be happy with that. We treat God as if he's stupid. And that's what God's doing here. He's saying, you guys think I'm stupid.
Sobering.
God says, try giving that to your governor. Yeah. You know, some of us, we show up to work on time.
Come on, brother.
And we show up to midweek 10 minutes late.
30 minutes.
And I'm serious about that. I'm serious about that. Okay? Is God pleased with that? I don't think he is. Will God accept your offering? Now, I'm going to talk about money. Really, what it is, in the lesson to the priest, he doesn't talk about money. He talks about everything. And then in chapter 3, it's the lesson for the people. He's kind of going for the lowest common denominator. So it just goes straight to the money issue.
Yeah.
So in the first part, he's going more to the heart here. Let's read verse 10 and 11 here. Now, wait a minute. Verse 9. Now implore God to be gracious to us with such offerings from your hand. Will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Do you give the first of your energy to God? Do you give the first of your creativity to God? Mm. Now, I would say tonight Lindsay gave the first of his creativity to God. Amen for that. All right, that's good. All right? He's not giving his leftover to God. I respect that and appreciate that.
Yeah.
But many of us give more discipline, more effort, more heart, more attention to our hobby, towards getting a spouse, towards moving forward in our career, towards saving up for retirement than we do for the Lord. And we think the Lord will be happy with that. But I don't think God will accept that. Verse 10. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. God says, if you're going to give me the second best, please just don't give me anything. He said, you can keep it. You can keep your half-filled bottle of shampoo. Don't really want it. Now, is God exaggerating here? God's basically saying, look, if you're not going to give me your heart, just don't even come. Just stay home.
Wow. Wow.
And I'm not proposing that you stay home. I'm proposing that you give God your heart, all right?
Come on,
the solution is not to stay home. The solution is not to stop giving to the Lord, even though you've been giving half-heartedly. The solution is to give wholeheartedly.
Come on, John.
The solution is not to not put the $5 in the plate. The solution is to put sacrificially into the plate.
Yep.
All right? So why is God so upset about half-hearted gifts? Is it because he's some kind of an egotist? Is he on a, you know, is he kind of a prideful jerk or something like that? Is he like, excuse me, you know? He didn't give me? Is that what it is? No, it's because he gave everything.
That's it. That's right.
God was sitting up there in heaven, and he's thinking, what do I value? Well, I got my son. All right, I'm going to give my son.
Mm.
Father said, and I got the Spirit. What did he do? He gave the Spirit.
Wow, amen, yeah.
So what's God holding back here? God's not holding back anything. And he will not settle for second best from us.
Right.
Is it better to give a little than nothing? Isn't it better to give a little bit than nothing at all? Answer is no. It's not better to give a little bit than nothing at all, because a little bit makes God angry. He gave his best for us, and it's disrespectful and ungrateful. You know, I don't want to be in the position that's being described here. All right, in verse 11, where it says, my name will be great among the nations from the rising to the setting of the sun. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying to the Lord's table, it is defiled. And of its food, it is contemptible. And you say, what a burden. You sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. See, that's the problem. And by the way, I can relate. I'm not standing here as somebody who's never felt this or never thought this. I've probably even said it a couple of times, but some of us, we feel like serving God is a burden. And basically, God's saying to you, if you're going to give your money to me and it's a burden, God's saying, just keep your money. Right. If coming to church is a burden to you, then just don't come to church. And by the way, I'm not suggesting you don't come to church. I'm suggesting you just repent.
Amen.
So don't use what I said as an excuse to not come to church.
Yeah,
all right, don't you misquote me on that. Not what I'm saying.
Let me clarify that,
some of us say, oh no, special contribution again.
Make it real.
Oh, I've been given special contribution for 25 years.
Oh,
God says, keep your money. Spend it on a vacation. Put it in your retirement account, because when you die, you know, you might as well have fun and drink and marry and all that kind of stuff. So some of us say, what a burden. Now, we're all tempted to feel that at times. And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on you, because, you know, sometimes we feel like, what a burden. But if you feel like that, God says, I'm not going to accept that gift. So that's what they're saying. There, verse 13, they're saying, what a burden. And he says, you sniff contemptuously. Now, we would never admit that we're sniffing contemptuously. But when you say to God, what a burden it is to come here to a leader's meeting at 6:15 on Thursday night. I admit, I've thought of that as a burden once or twice. I admit that. I admit it. I'm just being honest with you. All right? But when we say, what a burden, we're sniffing contemptuously. That's God's perspective. Is God exaggerating here? No, he's just telling it like it is. Verse 14. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock. Vows to give it, but then sacrifice a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations.
That's bold. That's pretty bold.
Have you been a cheat? Because if you've not given God the first of your energy, the first of your time, the first of your creativity, the first of your thought, then you've been cheating the Lord. And God's not happy with that. Chapter 2, verse 1, and now this admonition is for you, O priests. All right, and it goes on. I'm going to skip down to chapter 3. In chapter 3, he's talking to the people. And so because he's talking to the people, he wants to keep it simple. And you know, if you want to keep it simple on where you're at with the Lord, let's talk about money. You know? Because you can tell where you're at by how you think about money. That's the bottom line. And, you know, and it's kind of, you know, it's money. It's pretty concrete, you know. Although it's less concrete, it's all kind of numbers and papers and accounts. But really, for us, it's very concrete. So let's talk about money a little bit. Chapter 3, verse 6. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? God says, return to me. We say, what do you mean? I never left. I'm still here. I come every Sunday morning. Well, practically every Sunday morning, unless, you know, I got something going, but usually, almost every Sunday morning. And at least half the Thursday nights, I'm here, you know, and I have quiet times occasionally. You know, what do you mean I left? And God says, you left me. What do you mean we left you? When did we leave? What are you talking about? Who, me? Verse 8. Will a man rob God? It seems like he's changing the subject here. He said, you left me. And they said, we did? Who, me? He says, will a man rob God? And what, I thought we were talking about, will a man rob God? And all right, he's kind of confusing them a little bit here. But he asked, how do we rob you? And I imagine them kind of going through a little mental list. What did I take from God? I'm trying to think, what stuff do I have in my house? What, you know, I don't know, I've got my you know, I've got my whatever you have. You know, I've got my stereo. I've got my clothes. I mean, I didn't rob God. What are you talking about? I didn't rob God. All right, but maybe we did rob God. How do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Now, wait a minute. I thought tithes and offerings were something we give God. How can, in giving, you be robbing?
Come on, explain.
Oh, wait a minute. What was that lesson we had 2 weeks ago? What was the theme of that lesson 2 weeks ago, Juan?
Everything
belongs to God. Ah. So if we don't give sacrificially, we're robbing God. Okay. I get it. In tithes and offerings, he says, you are under a curse. I don't know about you, but I do not want to be under a curse. Who here wants to be under a curse? I do not want to be under a curse. All right, well, then we need to stop robbing God. Right, we need to stop robbing God. He says, the whole nation will be because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. How have we robbed God? In tithes and offerings. God says, bring in the whole tithe. So why is it? Why is it that giving only a partial tithe is robbing God? Because really, it means we're not trusting in God.
Yeah.
Now, God says, if you will give sacrificially in every way, we're talking about money right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the topic of the lesson. And, you know, I'm not just talking about that, but let's think about it as far as giving to the needs of the church and giving to the poor and giving to the missionary work of the church in our special contribution. All right? Are we trusting in God? It's not about money, folks. You've heard that 100 times, but it's still true. It's not about money. It's about trusting that God will take care of you.
That's
it. So I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that God's going to take care of you? I mean, we all say yes, but I'm asking you, do you really believe that God's going to take care of you?
Come on, bro.
See, some of us, we hold back. In our heart of hearts, we don't really believe that God's going to take care of us. We think that if we give everything, then what's going to be in it for us?
Come on.
You know, if I give everything, then am I going to, you know, what about my retirement? What about getting married? You know, what about just the fun things that I want to do? What about that? Now, God says, test me in this.
Yeah.
God doesn't often say, test me in this. You look in the Bible, you're not going to find a lot of places where God says, test me in this.
Yeah.
But God says, you know, trust me here.
Yeah.
The theme of Malachi is having faith in God versus being faithful to God. Having faith in God versus being faithful to God. And what God is asking us to do here with our money and our time and energy is to be faithful.
It says,
you have said harsh things against me, says the Lord. And again, the people said, what did I say harsh against God? I mean, I didn't say, God, you're stupid. I didn't say, God, you're an idiot. I didn't say, I hate you, God. I didn't say, God, you're not very powerful. I didn't say, I don't respect, what do you mean we gave harsh words? When I never spoke a single, wait, before I was a Christian, but that's forgiven. Right? All right. But, I mean, since I've been a Christian, I have not said a single harsh word against God. That's what they're thinking. And so he says, yet you ask, what have we said against you? You've said, it is futile to serve God. That's what it comes down to, folks.
Wow.
In our heart of hearts, some of us have said, it is futile to serve God.
Mm.
We said, if I give to God first, then how's it work for me? That's what some of us have said. And that's what these people said. And it's about the heart. You said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going through about like mourners? Now, I think, you know, we don't say this out loud. But in our hearts, you know, and it's a fear thing. It's a fear. We have this fear that if we totally trust in God, he's going to let us down. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you totally trusted in your parents, they let you down.
Wow.
You trusted in your boyfriend or girlfriend, they let you down.
Mm-hmm. True.
But God will never let you down.
Amen. Come on, John. It's awesome.
They said, it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Do you trust God to give you a spouse if it's best for you, or not if it's best for you? Do you trust God to take care of you financially if you give generously to the work of the church? Do you believe that if you give generously to special missions, your gift will produce an abundant harvest somewhere else that you'll never see?
Right,
and God will figure out a way to produce abundant harvest in your life. Do you believe that? Now, let me finish by reading. I'm done in Hebrew, in Malachi. I'm just going to read a passage in 1 Timothy. I'm not going to comment it. I'm just going to read it, maybe make a very brief comment. Mm-hmm. So let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This passage really challenges me. 1 Timothy, actually, chapter 6. I don't know why I wrote 4 in my notes. It's 1 Timothy chapter 6.
Come on, John.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. If we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Can you say that?
Come on.
I don't think I can. I don't think I can. Said, if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous, be willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life.
Amen.
So God says, trust me in this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 20-minute lesson.
Yeah. It's always that real challenging when those scriptures that really get to my heart.